Firestarters. Welcome to Crowdfire Stories. If you're new, please subscribe. I promise it'll be the smartest move you make today. On this podcast, I interview Firestarters to get their story of success and passion and motivation. On this podcast, we get real about the challenges of marketing yourself and how Firestarters get motivated to do that and how they make their success happen. Crowdfire helps them by being the marketing assistant that lives in their pocket. And Firestarters are bloggers, founders, YouTubers. They're the creators of the world, like you and me.
Do you want to introduce yourself to our listeners today?
Well, yes, my name is Antonio Vargas, and I live in Cancun. I was born in Mexico City. I used to work at the airport. I studied computer programming, but now I'm dedicated to digital media, YouTube, social media.
That's a big jump from working at the airport to working in digital and social media. What got you interested in working in media?
I always loved computers. They were easy for me since the time it started, because when I was young, there were no computers at home. So I can tell you the prehistoric story of computers also.
Do you remember when there were the giant computers?
Yes, they were a novelty at home to have a PC. Actually, I have an old Atari. Do you remember those computers that were able to play and make some basic programs in BASIC? The Atari 2600, I think.
That's what got you interested then, was computers?
Because they were easy for me to understand. I really loved when they became connected, because it was much later than computers. Then I discovered that it was amazing to stay in touch with God in the world. So, wonderful appliance.
So for you, it's about staying in touch with the world.
How do you say, propagate my ideas? I like to help people. That's the main thing, because our YouTube channel is conducted mainly to that, to make tutorials and try to help people with information that would be helpful.
So what made you decide to go with YouTube as your channel for promoting things?
I was still working at the airport at that time. It was 2008. I realized that I had no job security in the work I was doing. So I started to look for other options to open maybe my own business. Then a friend told me that YouTube was paying for making videos, and I was good at videos. Well, no, I wasn't good, but I was learning to make videos. I got interested in it. I told the idea to my wife. She was reluctant at the beginning, but then we started to understand the idea. Now we are dedicated to those, to travel, and some other things here in Cancun.
Fantastic. So what made you decide to make your videos about Cancun and traveling?
I decided to film way of life, because my wife has always been good at cooking. She has been always very good as an administrative person at home. I was good at fixing things, and we were very good at traveling. We love to travel. We learned some ways to save and to be very efficient about traveling, because it's not an easy task. We saw that it's kind of stressing for people to leave their comfort area. So we try to help show importance of traveling, to open the mind, to expand your horizon.
How did you figure out what those skills were? Did you just sit down, you and your wife together, and talk through what you thought you guys were best at? Or did you ask your family and friends? How did you come up with that?
It's because some friends ask us advice about some things. We figure out that those advice, or relatives also ask for advice. Well, we knew we had some valuable information to share, and then we started to share.
So what has been the biggest challenge so far in starting a YouTube channel?
Well, when we started in 2011, it was a little bit easier than now, because there were not so many channels. Policy of YouTube was different from now. The most important thing is try to make the videos, because it was a test and try the way you have to do it in YouTube, because there's nothing written. It's like when silent movies started. Everything was test and try and see what works, what doesn't, trying to figure out what people was interested in. We tried even making fun videos, but I think I'm not funny, because they had no success. I started to go on the tutorial to get some interesting people. And yes, it was the way. Right now we have 150,000 followers in our YouTube channel.
So that's amazing. I know a lot of people who would love to have that many followers. What would you say has been the best strategy that you've learned to get more subscribers to YouTube?
Well, I think the most important thing is to be engaged with your followers. They are the ones that make your channel. They are your public. They are your supporters. And they are the soul of any media. So that's the compromise with people, answering questions, and trying always to hear what they are looking for, what they like. It's very important. Commitment is the most important thing.
I think that it's really powerful that you mentioned that right now, because we just had a question in the community this week that I think you might have some advice for. So the question was, YouTuber has a good number of subscribers, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're getting a lot of views. So it seems like some of their subscribers are inactive. Do you have any advice for how to re-engage those people that are subscribed but aren't watching every video?
Well, the problem right now is that YouTube is changing the policies. Since they had this problem last year or 2 years ago with their sponsor. I think they changed the algorithm, and some channels like ours disappear from their search engine. We have seen also that our numbers are the same for the last year. So we are not growing very fast right now. But I think it's because YouTube has changed the search engine. Maybe they are having the same problem. We have told YouTube about our concerns, and I know that we are not the only ones. Maybe they should tell their concerns to YouTube, because it's 90% sure for me that the problem is YouTube right now. It's very difficult to grow a channel on these times.
Is there a way that you engage with your subscribers other than on YouTube? Do you have them on other social networks? And if so, how do you get them from YouTube to those social networks?
Yes, of course. And right now for us, the most important thing are the social networks. We use Twitter, we use Facebook, and we use Instagram mainly to reach new audiences and to keep engaged with the people that is following us. We had to do it right now, and YouTube is making us do it. Because since they are not helping us, we are looking other ways. That's a good thing about trying to be innovative. They make you to be innovative because it's difficult to get an audience right now on these days. The most successful YouTubers is on the gaming area, on the music area, only for people make fun videos. Those are the ones that are getting the most support from YouTube. Oh, that's what I see in Mexico.
That's very interesting. So if someone were thinking about starting a YouTube channel, what would be your advice on kind of how they pick the topic of their channel and the type of content they create? Because from what you're saying, it sounds like there's certain content that's popular, but then there's also, you know, authenticity and being true to what your interests are.
Well, I think the most important thing is to be faithful to you. Or not everybody is good at gaming. You need to know yourself. You need to know what's your strong points and what are your weak points. If you're yourself, you will be authentic and people will believe you. If you look fake, people won't follow you. That would be my advice.
I think that's very good advice. So don't just go with the trend. Go with yourself, with your gut.
That's correct. Don't try just to hang to the trending, because you will look just like another one.
The fact that you make content for an international community, because you talk about tourism, what would you say the differences are in creating content for an international community versus creating content for a local community?
Oh, yes. I was telling you that it's great to have an international community, not only because you can connect with people from very different ideas and different cultures, because it also gives you, as marketing, a wider community, much wider auditorium. So you get a better income if you have a big audience than if you stay locally only.
It's definitely better to have a big audience. Is there a difference, though, in any of the tactics that you use because you have an international audience?
Yes, we mostly do. We use English. We put the subtitles on all the videos. Also, we speak in Spanish. We put the subtitles for the audience that only reads English as us. That way, if they don't understand what we're saying in Spanish, they can read what we are trying to say.
So what would be your advice to someone who's starting out a YouTube channel and maybe they want it to be about tourism? Do you have any specific advice for that industry?
Yes, to think globally. Always think that if you are going to internet, you're exposing yourself to an international, multicultural audience. There's always somebody that can even speak the language, even if they are not from the country. So you need to think about being very neutral and being very objective about what you to communicate in your videos. Always think globally because you are exposing in an international media.
There we go. As someone who's traveled internationally, you were talking earlier about going to Japan and things. What would you say it means to think globally? Is that to think in terms of like cultural norms, or is that to think in terms of languages, or what exactly does that mean to think globally?
Yes, of course. There's one thing that kind of garbage for me, to think about patriotism. Well, it's good to love your country. It's good to be proud of where you're from, but don't think that you are the only one or that you are the best one. There is good and bad in every country. So always think that the other countries are filled with people like you. They love, they hate, they smile, they joy. They do everything that you do. So always think the good ones, or some countries think, or some people think that they are the best country and they are the best people. No, 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 no. We are all the same. All in the world, we are the same. We have seen nice people everywhere. We have seen a few bad people everywhere. So there's nothing special about anybody of us. We are all part of a big community. We are part of a brotherhood of humans. So just think like that. That way you won't despise anybody that comes to your channel. You don't despise anybody in your videos. Always think globally. Always think that you are the same. The people in the next country the same, and the people on the other side of the world, they are the same as you.
I think that that is a perfect description and a great analogy for people to think of. And that is actually not what I would have thought of in terms of thinking globally. I was thinking much more in terms of strategy, but that's a really good point. So in the tourism industry, particularly on YouTube, does it seem like there are certain countries that are kind of hot that people like to go to, and do you track those? And if so, what makes up those popular tourism spots, and how do you apply that to Cancun?
Oh, well, it depends on what people are looking for. The different type of people is looking different type of things. Some countries are popular because they have beautiful nature, as Mexico. Some others really like to go shopping, as the United States. It depends on what you're looking for. Maybe adventure, maybe you're looking for thrill, whatever you're looking. But I think the countries that are very popular as France, let's say, it's because, of course, they are beautiful, France, Italy. They are very popular. They have a long tradition of tourism. And that's why right now they are famous. They have made a brand of their countries. So they have had great merchandising, I think. And now they are icons of the world.
That's very true that they are icons. Would you say the same of Cancun, though? I feel like, and maybe this is being American and being kind of close by, I feel like Cancun is a pretty big hot spot. Like, a lot of people know of Cancun, and a lot of people go there for vacations and honeymoons and things like that. Is that, would you say that that's true of Cancun internationally?
Yes, Cancun is an icon also. So if you are looking for nature and you are looking for party also. We are famous because of the parties here. Spring break, we are full of spring breakers during February, March, April. But Cancun and all the Riviera Maya has a lot to offer. If you're looking for nature, if you're looking for the true things, culture, the Mayan culture, you can find it here. If you're looking for different things other than the beaches and the party, you can find it here. We are trying as YouTubers and as social media, trying to show those other things that are not very famous among the tourists. Most of the tourists we receive are from the United States. And somehow in the United States, Cancun has been famous because of the spring break and the beach. But we have much more to offer. And we're trying to show those unknown things where you won't find crowds also. We want to show that Cancun, Riviera Maya, and all the peninsula is much more than beaches and parties.
Well, I would definitely agree. I mean, you have so much beauty in that area, way outside of just the beaches and the partying. So this is kind of your chance as you're speaking to all these people. What hidden secrets of Cancun do you want them to know about?
They have to take a look at the beaches. They need to swim in a cenote. And if they have the ability, they need to dive into a cenote. We have the biggest underground river in the world. We have thousands of kilometers of underground rivers. You know, the peninsula, there are no lakes, there are no rivers here, but we have underground rivers. We have a lot of water, but they are underground. And if you walk in the jungle, of course, you need a specialized tourist guide, because if you don't know the jungle, it's dangerous. But it's an amazing adventure to connect with nature in that way. We have also a great Mayan culture. We have ruins everywhere. And the Mayan history is very interesting to know, because the most important thing is that they were a great culture. They had a lot of knowledge about numbers, about astronomy, about agriculture. But right now, well, archaeologists think that they destroyed the ecology system. There were a great drought for years that destroyed all the Maya culture. That's why they had to spread all around. Everything disappeared. So it's like a warning for our current community or current civilization that we cannot attack the environment because it will take back.
That alone sounds like enough of a reason that everyone should go there, really, to learn from the past so much that you're talking about. So how do you capture all of these things in order to display them on a tourism YouTube channel?
We need to go to those places. We need to connect with people. And we need to understand their message to try to transmit it in our videos. My wife and I are very, how do you say, emotional. We get excited very easily. When do we discover how a woman is making tortillas by hand? Somebody is telling us the history of the haciendas that were the main resource in the peninsula 1 century ago. And we try to transmit that emotion in our videos, now in our blog. We are trying to make all that information, and most of it, besides the information, we try to transmit emotions, to try to invite people and to come and feel those emotions also, have an experience here.
I think you really nailed something there about it, having an emotional reaction inside the content that you create. How important do you think that is for all content creators? Because that sounds like it applies to, you know, even more than YouTube or even more to tourism. Because if you're putting something emotional out there, no matter what industry you're in, people are going to connect to it. And I think that might even be part of that thinking globally that you were talking about earlier, right?
Yes, we have to use a lot of emotion because that's a universal language. As I told you before, everybody in the world has emotion and the same emotions. But we need to use emotions to try to connect with people from everywhere in the world using the universal language, because the talk language is not very easy to transmit in that way. So we use music, we use images, and of course the description we make in the video to try to connect with those emotions in the people on the other side of the wire.
Wow. So I think, you know, what you're talking about now is a little bit about emotional intelligence, because in order to, you know, be aware of your own emotions that much, you have to have emotional intelligence. How do you recommend that people get in touch like that?
Well, you need to go back to your inner child. Because when we're a child, we are very emotional. We are not rational. In time, we are taught to be rational, and you are, don't cry, boys don't cry. You won't solve anything crying. And why are you laughing too loud? And trying always to make us a cube and to try to fit in society. It's okay if you fit in society. I'm not talking about that. But it's important that you, in your own privacy, you need to connect with your inner child. You need to cry, you need to dance, you need to laugh, you need to look what satisfies you. So that's the way you can reconnect with those emotions you had and you felt when you were a child. And then you can, when you have that good communication with your inner child, you can transmit it outside.
Oh, I feel like we're tapping into something that's even more powerful the more you go along. This is amazing. Do you think that because you're a content creator, because you make these YouTube videos and you connect with people emotionally around the world, do you think that makes it easier for you to connect with that kind of inner child or that have more emotional intelligence because you're creating things and you are seeing other people react? Do you think that makes it easier and the connection stronger?
Yeah, definitely help, because I had to, before the channel, I was trying to connect with that inner child, but it was kind of difficult until I have a practical use of that communication. That way I started to communicate and then to transmit on the videos because the channel was making me to do so. So that's another great advantage of having the YouTube channel.
This sounds like a great reason for people to start YouTube channels as well. Did you find that difficult at first, though, to connect emotionally like that and to find emotional content? I know you said that you kind of naturally are connected, or you would consider yourself kind of naturally emotionally intelligent. But when you first started out making the YouTube videos, did it still come to you naturally, or was that something that you had to work on, was having the emotional intelligence to create videos that people would react to emotionally?
No, it was a process. It wasn't the first time. The first videos, I looked at them and they are very primitive, I can say. And they were able to target what I was trying to say. We had to practice. Of course, we had to practice because making that connection back is not easy. It has been years of training of being very rational and very adult person. We're very rosy about that connection. It depends on each person, but for us, it took maybe a couple of years to get back that connection and then to put it on the video.
I think actually you've given a lot of great advice, but I think that might be the most powerful piece of advice that you've given us today. Fantastic. So do you want to tell everybody one more time everywhere that they can find you online?
Yes, we are always online. Be glad to hear from you, or our Twitter account, our Instagram account, or Facebook account. They are all the same, Pato de Gato TV. And you can find us, and we answer all the questions, or all the concerns you can write down right there.
Have a fantastic day.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening in on today's episode. If you're ready to go big online, you can download the Crowdfire app in the Apple or Android app stores. If you're old-fashioned, you can find it at www.crowdfireapp.com. Please like, comment, share, and most importantly, subscribe to the podcast. We make this for you, and we couldn't do it without you, Firestarter. So stay tuned for the next episode.